Blog Talk Radio.
Having me for Monday. When I told you will come through. Just like you did, Abraham. God, I need you to show me a sign. So today I'm telling heaven, because I feel in the spirit. It's not a spacious time. So here I am, Jesus. All I have is your word. Show yourself to be God. I know you won't let me down. Oh, oh, I won't stop believing.
Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes.
we go. How the reminder of Abraham. We only have a soft word carrying him. Even when it hurt and hit the most, we still had faith in his heart. But he lifted his voice and declared, he will grow.
Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is our provider. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We truly happy to have each and every one of you all. And I am truly that happy that Evangelist Sharon's with us today. The Lord had put her in my spirit to pray that song for her and dedicate that to you. And also I'm going to ask the Evangelist Sharon, she'll give us a word of prayer. And then we're going to get into today's review. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Beasley, for that beautiful selection. Everything depends on our Jehovah Jireh. In 1 Peter 5, 1 through 7, it reads as follows in the King James, the elders which are among you, I exhort, am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willing, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords of God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory, and fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Ye all of you be subject one another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hands of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for another perfect day. I want you to come into all our hearts and minds and bodies where you already reside. And abide and give us the glory and the love and spirit of you. We continue to bless those who are asked to remember them in prayer, continue to bless the sick, the shut-in, the bereaved, and those who don't have the mind to pray for themselves when you constantly cover them with the blood of Jesus and lead them whole and feeling protected. I pray for both my pastors. I pray that you will continue to protect them and anoint them in a way that they will continue to get out all of the good news which is revealed in your scripture. By your word, you said we will be healed. We're all healed. I pray for those who are sick, for those who are struggling, those in us, ask us to remember them in prayer. And I'm pleading the blood of Jesus over this broadcast and our pastors and all the listeners who want to be obedient and follow the guidelines that God has set for us before the world was ordained. I pray all this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Evangelist Sharon. Thank you for the awesome prayer and the greetings as well. Love that scripture. you just shared. Love it. Well, today's view, anyone like to have anything to say on this week's teaching, I want you to know that you're just more than welcome to share. The review basically is for us to go over some stuff that we taught on. So the review is not necessary, but not limited to talking about future scriptures or whatever, but mainly to go over what we have discussed this week. And somebody said, well, I already know that. Yeah, I know you already know that, but we have a lot of people who tune in and they'll say some things like to start a whole new conversation. And today's is about reviewing scriptures that we went over this week in particular. And with that being said, we're talking about the true church. Now, there's a lot of churches, but this week we were talking about the true church. And we want everyone to know what the true church is. The true church is the church that God made. And if you will go with me to Hebrews 8:1-2. And you got to listen with your spirit so you can hear this. Now, I know you might have been taught something differently, but ask God for the revelation so you can see and don't assume anything. Sometimes you go before God, you got to go before him as an empty picture so he can feel you. That's where you have to go. You can't go with pride. You can't go knowing all. You got to go as an empty picture and say, Lord, feel me. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding. Because if you ask, he will give it to you. And the reason you have not, because you ask. So ask God for revelation knowledge. Matter of fact, people who attend this broadcast, that's my prayer for you, that God give you revelation knowledge. It is so important because as you get revelation knowledge, you're going to help us to build up the body of Christ, because essentially that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get everybody into that unity of faith so they become a full stature or just like Christ. In other words, that's the whole essence in what we're doing, brothers and sisters. The Bible says over there in Ephesians, and then I'm going to ask Evangelist Sharon, and she'll read that out of the Messenger Bible, Hebrews 8:1. But remember when Christ gave gift unto the church, and he gave these gifts, some apostles, some perks. But now let me tell you this. It was all for oneness. I got to say that. Got to just throw that in there. But he was doing this so he could have one church. And he gives this illustration about the husband being head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. So he go to our level to explain to us that Christ is the head of the church. And based on that, we are subject to Christ, not man, not man's stuff. But just like a wife is subject to her own husband, so let the members, believers, be subject unto Christ, or let the church be subject unto Christ. So let the wives obey their own husband in everything. So it is with in Christ. And he says, husband, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church. But the part that I want to get to is that why did he do this? He sanctified it, cleansed it, and with the washing of the water of the word of God. That's how he cleansed his church. And that he may present itself to himself. Now, I had a hard time with that at first, but then God showed me all the revelation in that, that he may present it to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Christ's church, he present to himself, and he wanted holy, made it like he wanted. And you use the same thing as a wife and a husband. A husband gets his wife, and he makes her, and he grooms her, and she's in her glory, even if she don't have a beautiful gown to put on and all this kind of stuff. But the idea here is that that's his bride, and he can claim her because he's giving to her, giving to her the things that's going to make them become one, and sharing with them the things that are going to cause them to become one. Well, all this is important because you have to know that when you get in, when you're married or in the relationship, there shouldn't be no blemishes there. There should be open conversation, open dialogue. So that's what Christ does. He get rid of all that stuff so you can become one in him. And he did all this for the oneness, for the edifying of the body of Christ until we all come into that unity of faith. And that's why we have all these different gifts that Christ gave. Paul said that this is a great mystery, but he speak concerning Christ and the church. That's what this all was about Christ and his church. But he yet uses a marriage or a husband and a wife, and even though it's a mystery, he says he used this to describe Christ's church, and it's a mystery to some people. But anyway, Christ's church, part of that mystery is this, and I'll go there. Part of that mystery is Hebrews 8 and 1. I'm going to ask Evangelist Sharon if she'll read that out of the King James Version.
Yes. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set in the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Amen.
I'm asked Pastor Shill read that out of the Messenger Bible.
Praise the Lord. Amen. As in the Message Bible, in essence, we have such a high priest, authoritative, right alongside God. Amen.
And the main point, brothers and sisters, is that we be aware that God has, I mean, when you sum this all up, you almost got to go back to the seventh chapter. But when you sum all this up, Christ is seated at the right-hand side of the Father on high. And what he's doing there, he become a minister of the sanctuary. And if you'll let me say this, of his sanctuary, which happens to be the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. In other words, God made this church, not man. See, it wasn't made. The true church was made by hand, brothers and sisters. The true church, you can't get in it like folks think you can get in. You can't be voted in. According to Matthews, God have to put you in this church. End the conversation. Point.
Mm-hmm.
God has to put you in this church because he said to Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And for this reason, you are blessed.
Hallelujah.
So when God show you who Christ is, I mean really show you who Christ is, like he did all of us, but he started with Peter. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal Christ to you, didn't reveal the church to you. Remember, Christ is the head of the church. So when he asked him, who the man says that I am, he said, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you are. But finally, he said, okay, now who do you say that I am? He says, okay, you are the Son of God. You are the Christ. You are the one that we've been waiting for. In other words, you are the church. You're the head of it. And God didn't build this. I mean, man didn't build this. God built this.
That's right.
And like every priest, you offer gifts. That kind of goes back to Ephesians. When you marry, you offer gifts to your wife. That's what he did mm-hmm. with his own church, with his own body. So the true church is Christ at the head. So we discussed that, a couple of the facts. Because, see, truth is facts, brothers and sisters. And we discussed that one day. What the truth is, truth is not associated with facts. It is the facts. And that's the part you got to really get a hold to. See, most local churches, they are associated with truth, but it's not the truth. See, you can't start a truth and switch it to a lie, or start a lie and switch. That you can do. You can switch a lie to the truth, but you can't start the truth and switch it to a lie. That doesn't mm-hmm. work. So,
all right.
To be part of the true church, that is being part of Christ's church. That's what it is. I know an organized church has many members. I get that. But I must warn you and caution you that that's not the true church. That's not the New Testament church. That may be your local church. But by what we're talking about, that is not Christ's church.
Right.
It does not mention any, the true church does not mention you going ahead and erecting a building. That's not the true church, brothers and sisters. And then you get in it. And just for a moment, as we do this review, we didn't really get into this part, but I want to share this. How it all starts the same way. It's where people get off track. Most folks, it's sincere. They start the word, they get in the word of God. They may be in a small living room, maybe in a dining room. And then there'll be more people show up. And then they go like, you know what? Man, this place here ain't big enough. Let's take it to somewhere else. Then they may rent somewhere, a hotel. Therefore, you know what? Y'all know all this money we paid for this, we can get our own building. And therefore, you know it, they began to get their own building. And they go by it in many ways. Some people come out, they pocket and pay the money. Some people sell chicken dinner, barbecue dinner. And before they know it, boom, they done acquired a building. So instead of them serving God like they did at first through the Bible study, you know, like Acts 5:42, they went from house to house because that was part of the truth there. Then they find themselves, hey, man, we got to raise this money for the rent. We got to raise this money for the mortgage or whatever. And so they get away from serving the creator and began to serve the creation. And the way that happens is, brothers and sisters, they begin to say, well, we need a board of deacons, and we need ushers, and we need choir members. And people, all focus become, their focus become that rather than the word of God. This is how they build their sanctuary. And so they know it, they're adding stuff. And this is why the body of Christ is suffering right now. So they go to the right, and some go to the left. They don't go to the straight gate. The straight gate is Christ, brothers and sisters. That's the way you got to go in. That's the way you have to live. And that's what God's looking for. He's looking for true worshipers. John 24. He wants true worshipers. True worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. Well, that's the truth. Not in, well, we're just doing this because everybody else is doing it. Because that's what eventually start happening. Well, yeah, we need to get something bigger. So they go from a storefront to they buy some used building. And if they're fortunate enough, they build one. And then they begin to bigger churches. And other folks move out and they move in. And these are buildings. But that's not the true church. The true church is being in Christ. And that has to become a reality to you. Now, oh, yeah, I know that. You can't know that and then turn around and do the opposite. You don't know it. Well, I know that thing will burn. You know that. Why you keep sticking your hand on it? Mm. You don't know it. If you know it, you wouldn't keep sticking your hand on it, on that hot iron. You wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not, and I've been saying this all week, so let us not go to church. How about let us be the church? How about let us be what the Word of God say we are? And that's what this truth has been all about this week, is the true church is a glorious church. That's what the true church is. The true church is a glorious church. That's what Christ says now. See, that's what another thing you got to understand. And he's the minister of his church. That's what Hebrews 8, that's what I keep telling you. I'm not saying this stuff, brother, sister. The true church is one church. I'd like for you all to read this too. One day we had this scripture over there in Acts 7, 38. That was a scripture I was going to jump on too, because that was a scripture that we had this week. Acts 7:38.
Okay, in the King James, it reads as follows. Acts 7:38. You said Acts 7:78, Pastor?
Acts 7:38.
Okay. Praise God. Thank you. I apologize.
No problem.
That is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracle to give unto us. Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible. This is the Moses who stood between the angel at Sinai and your fathers assembled in the wilderness and took the life-giving words given to him and handed them over to us, words of our father which have nothing to do with. Have mercy. Amen.
There again, brothers and sisters, the church was in the wilderness. Now, when you think of wilderness, don't think it's some real big desert place. No, the wilderness is always outside of a city limit, put it that way, or the community. Wilderness, that's what it is. Remember John the Baptist, he was in the wilderness, but his dad was passing the church right up the corner, right up the street. Remember the whole town thing? He said, who warned ye to flee from the wrath to come? He was out there in the wilderness eating wild locusts and honey. You know your Bible. That's what he was doing. Well, where was he at? He was right outside. So when he looked at Pharisees and the church people and the whole town had came out to see him, he says, who warned ye if you flee from the wrath to come? He called them serpents. And I know that made him angry. I know that made him angry.
Yeah.
He called them vipers. Mm-hmm. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And I must tell you, brothers and sisters, Christ Church is a glorious church. And it's in the out. It's people. That was the assembly. It was people. Don't get hung up on this scripture. Oh, well, you know, fail not to assemble yourself together as a man or something. That's about the only church scripture they used to try to justify going to church. And it's nowhere in there that it says to go to church. Nowhere. And then that don't prove that they was assembling in some building.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right, a temple that was to correct people, and it was their custom because he was getting ready to get rid of the old and bring the new in, which bring us to the next scripture or another scripture we talked about this week, which happens to be in the book of Luke, the 17th chapter, and the Pharisees, they got angry, man, because they didn't know what was going on with Christ's ministry. Can you imagine? Because they didn't know what was happening, they got angry. And they demanded of him. They demanded of him, when will you set up your kingdom? What scripture was that, Pastor? Was that Luke 17?
17, verses 20 and 21.
Yeah, I think they end up going 19, 20, 21. I'm going to ask Evangelist Sharon if she'll read that.
Yes, out of the King James, we read this follow. And he said unto them, arise, go that way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Amen.
Mm. Amen. From the Message Bible. Then he said to him, get up. On your way, faith has healed and saved you. Jesus, grilled by the Pharisees on when the kingdom of God would come, answered, the kingdom of God doesn't come by counting the days on the calendar, nor when someone says, here, or there it is. And why? Because God's kingdom is already among you. Amen.
Yeah. And most folks don't understand what the kingdom of God is. But the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. And the kingdom is what's in you. God's government, God's operate, God's building is within you. 1 Corinthians 6. 19, 1 Corinthians 6, 13, 2 Corinthians. See, God, is, the building is within you. Know ye not that you are the temple of God. You don't know this? But this story suggests to us that after Jesus had healed, and I'm going to put it that way, even though Jesus told the man, says, thy faith had made thee whole. After he had healed the man, and Jesus asked him about the 99, I mean the 9, where's the other 9 at? Those other 9s were church folk. Those other 9 was part of the religious group. How do I know that? Because he singled out this stranger. A stranger in biblical term meant somebody that was not a Christian.
All right.
Meant that someone that wasn't a believer in God. Yeah, that's what a stranger was. A stranger was like a heathen.
All right.
Or now some people think it means Gentile. Well, that could be it too, because the Gentiles, they were not associated with a religious party, such as the Pharisees, scribes, and Sadducee. So if you wasn't named out as a Pharisee, scribe, you was considered a stranger or a, for a better way of saying this, a Gentile. So when they saw, now you got to know who they were, they being the Pharisees, the religious group, they saw this man get healed. And they knew that Jesus being a Jew should not be associating with the stranger or a non-religious group. They knew that. So that's why they demanded that Jesus tell them when his kingdom, when his government, when he's going to do his thing. In other words, how about that one? Lord, We want to know from you, Jesus, when you going to do your thing? Because, see, they was forever trying to question him and trick him and to see if they can catch him doing something like healing on the Sabbath day. They wanted to catch him doing something that was outside of their law. It was okay, and whatever he did, it had to be within their law. But here Jesus then healed a stranger,
Mm-hmm.
So they knew he was coming up with some kind of revolution, some kind of new ministry that they wasn't accustomed to. And they want to know, when you going to set up your thing? When you going to do your thing, Jesus? When you going to do what you're supposed to? We need to know that now. We need to understand that. When you going to do your thing? And they demand it. And Jesus said, now, the kingdom of God is not going to come through observation. See, this is not a trick question, brothers and sisters. This is the truth. Observation, you won't be able to see God's church through observation. The optical nerve, you won't be able to see it like that. Jesus just said that. So why is people looking at church buildings? I wish somebody answered that for me. Jesus up and tell us in his word that you won't see my church through the optical nerve. You won't see my kingdom through the optical nerve.
Mm-hmm.
You won't see it. It's not coming through observation. And this word observation means to view something to get understanding. Jesus said, you won't be able to view this church and get understanding. It has to come through revelation knowledge, brothers and sisters. Observation.
Yeah.
And here, the Greek word here suggests that there was hostility. They was hostile, like because they used the word demand. So they was hostile about it. They demanded Jesus. And Jesus said, okay, it's not going to come that way. It's not coming through observation. You can look all you want through those beautiful brown, blue. If your eyes purple, you ain't going to be able to see it. You won't see it like that.
Amen.
I think that's awesome, man. Here, right here in our face, and we don't see it. But yet, people want to go to church. And I continue to tell people every day, and I'm going to keep on saying it to the Holy Ghost, tell me differently. I'm going to keep telling them that the church, what the church is not and what the church is. And people say, oh, well, no, you need to tell other people that. That's our job. It's to give Christ some credit. Stop letting Christ's church get ripped off. Stop letting the kingdom of God suffer. If you care anything about Christ like you say you do, you'll start telling people the truth. Not my truth now, please. Not my truth, but you'll tell them the truth. And that truth is that, now, well, I don't get into religion, all that. You don't have to. Just get into scriptures and tell them what the church is and is not. The church isn't where you meet. The church isn't a building. The church is what you do. The church is who you are. The church is the human outworking of the person of Jesus Christ. There again, let us not go to church. Let us be the church. 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Now, you can look up the, I'm talking about the true church. That's all I'm talking about, the true church. And I know folks are saying, well, Pastor, we know that. And why you keep harping? Because they don't know that. People don't know that. They think that. They need to have this. They think it is in their mind, but it's not in their heart. Who don't know you got to believe with your heart?
Yes.
You got to believe in your heart that Christ is the head of the church. That's what you got to believe. Oh, it's real. Some people believe that God raised him from the dead and you'll be saved. See, and they'll say that without any explanation, without any supporting scripture. They'll say it so you can just assume that you're saved. But brothers and sisters, you got to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You got to believe in your heart that Christ is the head of the church. You have to believe that in your heart.
Yes. Amen.
In other words, the word believe, it requires a corresponding reaction or a corresponding action. If you believe it, you'll act like it. How about that? If you believe, like you say, I believe my car, I run your car, Evangelist Sharon, I really do. Well, now I'm back in my car. Let's go put the pedal to the metal. See, when you believe a thing, you're not that you have to prove anything, but if you believe it, you act on it. See?
Mm-hmm.
My church is the body of Christ. I'm part of the body of Christ. So therefore, I don't have a church. I'm his bride. How about that one? It's still his church. See? You belong to Christ, brothers and sisters. So I continue to plead with each and every one of you all. Seek out the gospel message that you claim you have faith in. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. The tabernacle. The tabernacle. God's church became flesh. Not wood. Not brick. And the Bible says, in St. John 1:14, he is the true tabernacle.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Now, how you going to know it? Remember what it said, the kingdom of God? I want y'all to hear this with your spirit. Hear this revelation here. In St. John 16:13-16, I want you to read that for me, Evangelist Sharon.
Okay, can you please send me that scripture again? I'll pause for a second.
Yeah, St. John 16:13-16.
St. John 16:13-16, in the King James, it reads as follows. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear and shall speak, and he will shew you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall shew it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall shew it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall meet, because I go to the Father. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. From the Message Bible. But when the Friend comes, the Spirit of truth, he will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. He won't draw attention to himself, but will make sense out of what is about to happen, and indeed out of all that I have done and said. He will honor me. He will take from me and deliver it to you. Everything the Father has is also mine. That is why I've said, he takes from me and deliver to you. In a day or so, you're not going to see me, but then in another day or so, you will see me. Amen.
You see, when the Spirit of truth, I don't know what you listened to. I don't know what you've heard. I can tell you that Lucifer, Satan, is the god of this world, and he have power to show you stuff. And he could show you a mirage, something that you think is the truth is not the truth. He has power to do that. I'm not trying to shine anything on him. I just want you to know the truth. When you get the truth, the Holy Ghost is going to show you the truth. He's going to show you the real church, the true church, which happened to be a living church, a lively stone, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood who offers up spiritual sacrifice. That's what the truth is. The true spirit going to show you. He's going to show you a 1 Peter 2:5. He's going to show you that we're laborers together, building up the spiritual house of God. That's what he's going to show you. He's going to show you the true building, which is you. Each one of you all is part of the temple of God. Then if you believe that, then act like that. Guess what? His spirit dwells in you, not in no brick, not in no model. And they dedicate that, and they commit to that every week, every Wednesday. That's Satan's house, God's house. John 8:32. And I can prove it two ways that it's not God's house. First of all, you might have dedicated, and you can't dedicate Christ's body to him, Ephesians 5. So you're wrong there. You can't dedicate. Even though you dedicated that building to God, you dedicated it to the wrong one, because Christ have to dedicate his own body, his own saints, to himself. That's what he does. Ephesians 5. So you're wrong there. Then you say, that's my church. And when you say, oh, my church is and my pastor. Well, if that's your pastor, is not Christ's pastor. Because Christ gave gifts unto his church. His church, which is a true church, is he gave you apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. His gifts are pastors to his church. That's what his and the Holy Ghost teaches you this. Well, it teaches you.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Ghost take you to another level and show you you've been redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death. The Holy Spirit seals you, show you the promises of God, began to reveal to you. That's what he does. He reveals. That's revelation knowledge. You just won't get that. I heard this message. I heard that. Brother, sister, let me tell you what. You can only get revelation knowledge from the Spirit of God. You don't get that from a building.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That you call in church. The Spirit separates you. The building separates. The Spirit of God separates you from the building and the builder.
Thank you, Lord.
You have to speak truth. Going forward, brothers and sisters, remember, you are God's house. So stay spiritual, if you will, because God is a spirit, John 4:23. And you are true worship. You know why? Because you're worshiping him in his spirit, not in some music.
All right.
You know, another scripture just came to mind. We didn't have this one this week, but it just came to mind, and that's Hebrews 3:1. So I'm going to ask Evangelist Sharon to read that, Hebrews 3:1, and then I'm going to step aside. Anybody shared anything, learned anything this week, we're going to give you another chance to share it. So in Hebrews 3:1, if you will read that one.
Yes, sir. In Hebrews 3:1, it reads as follows. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hebrews 3:1. So, my dear Christians, friends, companions, in following this call to the heights, take a good hard look at Jesus. He's the centerpiece of everything we believe, faithful in everything God gave him to do. Amen.
Yeah. See, we're part of a holy church. That's the true church. So he called us brothers and sisters because we're part of a holy church. So he called us holy brethren in a heavenly church, which is a heavenly calling. So that's why he tells us to look very careful, man, at Christ, who happened to be the chief cornerstone. Look at the apostles that they're operating in. See, when he says apostles, they have a name by them because that meant that they're operating in that gift. They didn't own the apostleship. They operated in that gift. So when you say the apostle Paul, that's somebody who operated as an apostle in that gift. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the person. Because Paul operated in a lot of things. He spent most of his time operating as an apostle. But I can take you through the scripture and show you, I mean, oh gosh, by every way that were, he was tried and operated in it. He operated as a pastor. He operated as an evangelist. He operated as a prophet. He prophesied. The thing that he didn't do that people try, he don't baptize folks. He let the Holy Spirit do that. A lot of folks wanted to identify with the flesh. He said, I thank God I ain't baptized none of y'all.
Amen.
Yeah, because he knew his position. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers, have you took your part yet? Have you took your part of the heavenly calling? Have you stuck to your profession? Have you claimed that? Seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, we need to hold fast to our profession in him, that Christ is the head of the church.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So, anyone like to have any comments from this week's lesson? That any scriptures you want to share, just press one. Those that are not in, so just go for it.
Amen, amen. I like to share that scripture, Pastor, you read, that you quoted in about the apostles. The true church is built upon, and that's Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and verse 11, I want to say. Yeah, verse 11, and it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And then verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And that is what it's all about. So that we can't just, you know, you say this is the foundation and there it is right there. I was just bringing that scripture out.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
God
see,
bless.
This whole body, brothers and sisters, it fit firmly together. Why? Because we're speaking truth, we're loving in truth, we're growing up in truth, because Christ is the truth, which is the head of the church, of his church. Now, I better start saying that more often, his church.
Yeah, yeah.
The Bible says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth that is in Jesus. See, we got to learn from Christ. We got to learn from his spirit. That's how we learn things. It's still open. Thank you, Pastor, for bringing that out. Anyone else?
Yes, good afternoon, Pastor. Yes, this is Sham. And I just want to keep everybody, I want to remind everybody to stay encouraged, and not just when you have a smile on your face, you know, when you're sick and you're going through, or when you're crying and when it looks with the optic nerve like you're going to lose that's when you have to stay encouraged and be steadfast in what you believe in and not waver. Just because it's windy doesn't mean it has to blow you down. So let's stay encouraged. Let's encourage each other. And let's believe 100% and not 99.9%, because this is why the revelation is not really getting to a lot of our hearts, because we have a doubt or we have some kind of skepticism or some kind of ponderance of what maybe somebody said to us that might sound true or better than the truth, or it's more feasible for us to live under that truth. So I want us to stay encouraged, and let's try to encourage each other and speak positive over our lives and everybody else's life as well. Amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much for that. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, Christ is going to strengthen us, but he's going to strengthen us in his glory and through his glory, because he has a glorious church. So he wants us to rejoice. And like she said, he, you know, look at it positively if you can. No, it doesn't matter what it looked like. It doesn't matter what it seemed like. The enemy will tell you a whole lot of stuff. You can't believe those lies, because that's what he does. He lied to you. He'll tell you, oh, what I'm going to do. I was talking to this lady the other day. She said to me, well, if I start going to church, where I'm going to go? I said, what? She said, if I stop going to church, where am I going to go? Man, that threw me for a loop. Why, you need to go somewhere? See, she was thinking she had all these clothes and all this stuff she done bought for the church. She wanted to know what to do with it, in other words. So I said, you don't have to do anything, but where you have to go is in your living room, in your kitchen. Grab your word and get in it. And then once you get in it, he tell you what to do. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. That's where you need to go. That's where the Bible says to go. Now, they can accept go to church, but they can't accept when God tells them to go ye therefore into all the world. It's like, boom, it fell on deaf ear. Now, he's telling you, you want to know where to go? Go ye therefore to all the world. But see, Satan have blinded their mind to wherein that they can't see what the glorious gospel is. You get a little bit, you share a little bit. You get a bit, you share a bit. But you share the scripture. And then when people see that, their eyes become open.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
God, yeah. Christ is putting together and I don't know why folks think that it's going to happen after. No, it has to happen now. It has to happen on this side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when it has to happen. Forget about yesterday. I don't care what you believe yesterday. It's what you believe today. Have God opened your eyes and showed you truth. Then walk in it. Well, what about tomorrow? Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow can be a mystery. But today you're dealing with facts. You can't change yesterday.
Amen.
But going forward, you can acknowledge and repent. Well, what I need to do, you need to repent from serving those idol gods. You need to repent. Matter of fact, you ought to repent for going up in that building. You did it out of ignorance, like I did. I did it out of ignorance until God taught me better. And now that I know better, I walk in truth. Now, I don't know if this is going to bother some of y'all, but, you know, they're more concerned about physical fornication than they are spiritual fornication. And I'm more concerned about spiritual fornication than I am physical fornication.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more concerned about spiritual adultery than I am physical adultery. See, physical adultery, you can be forgiven and all that good stuff. But don't mess around there and start being spiritually adultery. That's leaving one and marry another. Why are you going to marry another god? Spiritual fornication is you over there sleeping with other gods. You serving other gods. See, I'm more concerned about the spirit. Well, where you get that from, Peter? We're in 1 Corinthians 2. It don't change, brothers and sisters. It's our, you know, those that have been in the spirit, they know about the spiritual thing. Those that are about the flesh, they know about the flesh thing. Don't expect those that are in the spirit understand it. Don't expect it. And just like you shouldn't expect people in the spirit to do what people in the flesh is doing. Two different mindsets altogether. We're not the natural man. So therefore, as long as you stay in the natural, the physical part, you can't receive the things of the spirit. They're going to be foolishness to you. That's what the scripture says. Just like neither can you know them because they are spiritually discerned. See, the spiritual thing, it judges all things. Yet he himself be judged of no man. You know why? Because he's spiritual.
Yeah.
So the organized church is going to teach you to be more concerned about the physical or the natural fornication, but they won't teach you to be concerned about the spiritual fornication, that you're up there serving a natural God, trying to have a spiritual attitude or a spiritual man. It won't happen. It can't happen. Anyone else before we close this out today? Anyone else? Talking about the true church. It's a glorious church. It's a holy church. People say, oh, holiness without, no man shall see the Lord. Well, see, that's the true church, but that don't mean you're in the true church because you said it. I better say that one again. Because there's churches, organized churches say this. Well, you know, you need to come to our church, and they tell you the reason to come to their church because holiness without. I belong to a holiness church. No, you belong to that building. You belong to the organization. You don't belong to the organism. So because you say you're holy, don't make you holy. Just like, well, by like parking that bicycle in the garage, don't make you a car.
Mm-hmm.
You can park your bicycle in the garage all day long. Don't mean your bicycle is a car because it's in the garage. Same thing, brother. Christ wants a holy church, a holiness. And but there is a God of this world. That's why we got to start preaching the glorious gospel so we can get the glory in people. Because Christ is coming back for a glorious church. And if you don't preach the glorious gospel, they'll never know what a glorious church is. How about that one?
Amen.
And that's what we're doing. We're bringing Christ people together into oneness. One faith, one God, one Lord, and that's all into the glory of God. And when you just say, glory be to God, God already got all the glory. God wants all his glory to go out into all the earth. But see, that's a religious thing. Oh, give God all the glory. You see, when somebody say that, it's like they really honoring God. God ain't trying to hear that mess because he know it ain't from the heart, number one, and he know it's from the head, number two, and that ain't what he asked for. He ain't asking for that. God already have the glory. He got angels glorying night and day. God has the glory. He's sharing the glory with us.
Hallelujah.
But you can't get religious people to say that. Because they've been taught that all the glory belongs to God, and God is trying to show all the glory to us. When you receive Christ, you just receive glory.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
But anyway. Because that's what he wants. He wants a glorious body. So how he's going to have a glorious body if you don't have glory in you? How are you going to do that? But anyway, anyone else before we dismiss? Anything else, Pastor?
Now,
I'm sensing somebody got something to say, but they're not saying it today. I just don't know who it is.
Praise God. Great lesson.
Okay. Well, meanwhile, y'all stay blessed, and we'll see you all on tomorrow for the word at noon. Hallelujah.